In late September, the ever-ascendant political religious right threw itself the annual party that it calls the Values Voter Summit. Presented by the multimillion-dollar hate group Family Research Council, the gathering included many of the stars of far-right American political religion, including this year the most partisan Secretary of State our nation has seen, Mike Pompeo. People for the American Way senior fellow Peter Montgomery usually takes the risk involved in covering this event, and I am happy to have him back with us again on State of Belief Radio. So welcome back.
Thanks, Walton. It's always great to be with you.
Peter, I understood it was more of an online event this year. What stood out for you at VVS?
You're right. That was the big change, was that it was all online, so weren't able to stroll through the exhibition hall and pick up our research material from sponsoring organizations. But in some ways, the biggest thing was the way that things were the same. You know, for example, Tony Perkins, the head of Family Research Council, used the platform to smear opponents of Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination as, you know, anti-religious and anti-Christian. And it's an old tactic, but it's one that they never give up. And so that was on display.
So it wasn't just hearing what you've always heard before.
Well, no, I think it's a little bit different in that, you know, President Trump has been, for them, the dream president. He has given them what they wanted. He and Mitch McConnell are filling the federal courts with unqualified ideologues who basically, if they're young enough and right-wing enough, McConnell and the Republican Senate will put them on, no matter how unqualified they are. And so there's a strange mix of triumphalism that they have been winning a lot under the Trump administration, with a desperation of seeing that all slip through their fingertips if Trump loses. And so there is a ramping up again of an old tactic, but to a new level of fear-mongering, that a Democratic victory would mean the end of religious freedom in America. That's a scare tactic that they used in 2016 to get Christians to vote for Trump in spite of his myriad character flaws. And they're using it again. And they're really hoping to ramp up that fear factor in order to keep people voting for Trump in spite of his, you know, deadly mismanagement of the COVID virus and everything else. And Trump is picking up on it. Trump was tweeting out that Democrats want to shut down churches permanently. You know, it's such a ludicrous lie that you don't feel like it's even worth any attention. But that's coming from the president of the United States.
Did you get any insight into what kind of strategies may be putting together for the days after November 3rd?
Well, I think that they are intimately connected to the White House and the White House political operation. And so they are certainly supporting Trump's efforts on voting, supporting the lawsuits that the Trump administration is involved in to stymie state efforts to make it easier for people to vote during the pandemic. And they are also embracing the Trump administration's rhetoric about Democrats trying to steal the election. So I think if there is chaos in the wake of the election, if the result is not immediately clear to everyone and Trump decides to stir up trouble, he can very much count on the religious right to be part of the troublemaking.
So we're watching the outrageous campaign to push Amy Coney Barrett and her almost 3 years of lifetime judicial experience through the confirmation process, while lawmakers pretend she's simply the best qualified candidate in the nation. The theocratic right is tipping its hand. Talk about how they're saying she's quote unquote anointed.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating thing. You know, people have focused on the fact that she is, you know, a conservative Catholic and part of this charismatic Catholic movement. But I think it's fascinating the sort of the Pentecostal wing of the religious right, the apostles and prophets who promote Trump as God's anointed, have declared that she has been anointed by God to bring about an end to abortion in America. And some of them started saying that in 2018, the last time there was a vacancy, and they were so convinced that she was God's candidate that when Brett Kavanaugh rose to the top instead on one of the prayer warrior calls that I listened in on, Kavanaugh was denounced as a usurper, that he was usurping this position from the person who God intended to have it. So that is how committed they are to getting Amy Coney Barrett on the court. And it's explicitly tied to the fact that they believe that she will be the final vote they need to overturn Roe v. Wade and push toward their end goal of criminalizing all abortion in the U.S. That's been their top goal. But for the Trump team, they also want her on the court right now so she can vote with the other court conservatives to demolish the Affordable Care Act in the middle of a pandemic. And so that's particularly egregious that Republican senators are avoiding public health guidelines and common sense and everything else to try to push her onto the court so she can be there when the court hears this challenge to the Affordable Care Act a week after the election.
Well, Peter, of course, we know many millions of Americans would like to see Roe v. Wade reversed, most often on religious grounds. How closely are the extremists that you profile working with more mainstream Catholics, evangelicals, and others?
They're all on the same team when it comes to the Trump administration. Some of these leaders, like Lou Engel, who's been an anti-abortion activist for decades, you know, he sponsored an event on the Mall in the early years of the Trump administration in which he, you know, led prayers for God to remove Supreme Court justices. And he has led such prayers many times. But this event did not just include him and other Dominionist self-appointed prophets like Cindy Jacobs, but it also included the mainstream, if you will, of the anti-choice movement. Marjorie Dannenfelser of the Susan B. Anthony list and other anti-choice activists. So they're all working closely together. They're all intensely motivated to get Barrett on the court, come hell or high water or COVID. And they are intensely motivated to put Trump back in the White House so he has four more years to pack the federal courts with the kind of judges that they've been getting.
Is there any credible activism happening on the other side in secular circles as well as on the religious left? Or is this simply a one-sided campaign with an outcome that's predestined?
No, I would say there is definitely a credible campaign on the left from advocates of the right to privacy and reproductive choice. You know, there's a tremendous amount of organizing going on in the states of senators who are going to be voting on this. The problem is that the way the Senate is running now under Mitch McConnell, the number of tools that are available to the Democratic senators is limited. And, you know, Mitch McConnell, you know, runs the Senate like his personal fiefdom. He has made his top priority the confirmation of judges, and particularly now a Supreme Court justice. He's setting aside relief for millions of Americans who are impacted by the pandemic, because none of that is important to him as packing the courts. And so there is a credible campaign. People all over the country are working very hard to try to derail this, but it may not be enough.
Yeah. Well, just as important, Peter, is what Justice Clarence Thomas wrote earlier this month about the Obergefell decision. Talk about why this is such a concern.
Yeah, I think that a lot of Americans, most Americans probably, who don't spend their time like I do listening to right-wing media, would probably be surprised to know that, you know, the religious right has never accepted the Obergefell decision, that they have never accepted it as legitimate. And even after marriage equality being the law of the land for the last 5 years, they are absolutely intent on overturning that decision and stripping same-sex couples and their families of legal recognition and legal protections. And, you know, they're not scared to admit that. The Anti-Equality National Organization for Marriage is beside themselves with glee at the idea that Amy Coney Barrett could be the vote to overturn Obergefell. Ryan Anderson at the Heritage Foundation, which has been vetting judges for the Trump administration, Ryan Anderson is one of the most vocal anti-equality advocates out there, anti-marriage equality advocates. And even before the Supreme Court decision came down in 2015, he was laying out a roadmap to see it overturned. So I think the good thing about Thomas and Alito was they made that a little more evident to Americans. This campaign of resistance to marriage equality, this intention to overturn it, I think has been pretty much under the radar for most people. And Thomas and Alito at least made the threat clearer.
Well, sadly, a lot of this is not a surprise, of course, but it is disappointing beyond words that more Americans let down their guard in the past decade or so, taking progress for granted and failing to imagine the kind of wholesale assault on rights that we're seeing today. With that in mind, Peter, what should we be having nightmares about going forward?
Well, you know, take your pick of the issues that are important to you. I think if the Supreme Court overturns Roe, you will immediately see a number of states criminalizing abortion. And not only that, but, you know, they're when they're trying to dismiss people's concerns, they say, well, this is not ending abortion. This is just making it, turning it back to the states. But the fact is, this is a movement that is not going to stop there. They want to criminalize abortion across the country, and they will just immediately shift to the state level battles and then move the goalposts at the national level to try to get fertilized eggs declared to be legal people under the 14th Amendment, which would make abortion and many forms of birth control the legal equivalent of murder, and would leave women subject to harassment and punishment for having miscarriages, which happens in other countries that operate under that kind of legal regime. For same-sex couples and their families, the idea of having the legal protections of marriage stripped away from them is really threatening and can undermine those families in all kinds of ways, very practically, from healthcare to parental rights and everything else. So seeing the right-wing takeover of the Supreme Court move to a new level is going to be harmful for all kinds of Americans. You know, if the Affordable Care Act is overturned, millions of Americans will lose access to healthcare. Millions of people with pre-existing conditions will lose that protection in spite of what Trump is saying on the campaign trail. So the threat is very real. You're right. I think many people did not understand in 2016 just how devastating it would be if Trump and the right-wing legal movement were given free rein to remake the courts. But, you know, that's where we are. And we're going to have a lot of damage to repair. But to start repairing it, we really need to have Trump turned out of the White House in November, and to have the Senate Republicans lose their majority. So Those are two imperatives.
Well, I asked for it, and you gave it. It is something that keeps you awake at night. It certainly does me. Peter Montgomery is a senior fellow at People for the American Way, an effective and tireless chronicler of the anti-American political religious right. He is finishing up an article right now about what we've been talking about, and we will link to it on stateofbelief.com. Peter, as always, you have given us what we ask you to do, and it does scare us, which we should be scared about. But thank you for what you continue to do. And it's always great to have you on with us on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks for having me on, Weldon.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. We are very grateful. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. We'd love to hear from you. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week, one person for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.